Hi, everybody. The Complex PTSD Guy here. I'll start out by saying I'm not a doctor or psychiatrist. I'm just a guy living with complex PTSD, and I'm sharing my own ideas, experiences, and opinions on this podcast. I have something really important that I want to add to the last episode. So in order to understand this episode, I would listen to the last one I just did before this. So the important thing I wanted to add into it, the last one was about behaviors and how our behaviors stem from our trauma and symptoms. The really important thing that I forgot to leave out, and maybe it was for the best that I forgot to leave it out because maybe it needs more focus, is that it's really important that whenever we have something like a breaking point or an event or whatever, and we realize that our behaviors that were stemming from our symptoms and our behaviors that were stemming from our trauma, whenever we're engaging with those things, in the last episode I was using the example of relationships and how, you know, sometimes maybe there's a friend with benefit or there's somebody who just comes in and out of your life randomly. And that's those are your relationships. Like, that's your concept of a relationship, because what's considered like a normal relationship doesn't work out usually. So you run from it, or you don't even attempt to engage with it. You don't even try it, right? And so I would say that these are examples of behaviors that stem from our symptoms and trauma related to relationships. And I'm going to also use, I'm going to talk about just for a second, money. So for me, the way that I overspend is totally connected to my trauma. And part of that is the competency. I like the fact that I can spend money on something I want. It makes me feel good and it makes me feel competent. Like, I have this money to spend, when really I have it, but I should be saving it. So this is what I want to talk about. Is whenever you hit a breaking point or you hit a moment of what you could call the event, when a big thing happens, a big shift, or even you could say a big consequence or something big happens, and it's all related to the behaviors that you've been engaging in up to that point, that's when maybe it's time to try changing your behavior. But, and this is the important point of the important point, but when we do that, I want to stress that a lot of times whenever we try to change our behavior, it can feel like we aren't being true to ourselves. We aren't being who we are. Because me, and something I've done in the past, is I have said to people, well, this is who I am. This is just who I am. Deal with it, you know, or I'm not going to change who I am. This is who I am, right? I'm not going to change who I am. Like, you're asking me to change who I am. And that's not really what it is. It's realizing you can still be yourself. And this is very hard. I think this is very hard for people to realize, especially when you're actively trying to change your behavior. This can be so hard to feel like it's true. So whenever you're trying to change your behavior, it can be hard to feel like it's true that you're not losing who you are. And I think a big part of complex PTSD, or a big part of trauma, and just trying to live your life when you've come from trauma, a big part of it is it's hard to be ourselves, I think. It's just hard to just, like, life is already hard enough. Like, that's, I think, how we feel a lot of the times. So if now you're told to change your behavior, it's almost like, what's the point? What's the point of anything? And I think that can lead to, like, major depression, by the way, once you start thinking that way. You know, but if you start thinking, well, if I can't live the way I want to live, and you've come from trauma, which was already sucked, and it was hell on earth, it's like, what's the point of any of this? You know, I think that that can be our initial mindset. And again, that's impulsive. Like, that's an impulsive way to think. But if you can change the coping skills that aren't working for you, that I think do definitely connect to our symptoms and our trauma, you know, and realize all of our behaviors are eventually going to reach good breaking points or bad breaking points. So there could be a good breaking point, which we might think of as a breakthrough, but maybe a bad breaking point can be a breakthrough too. You know, like something we learn from, but good breaking points can be there too. Like me, I did change my behavior since October, and you know, I recently had good things come from my little experiment of checking books out at the library shelf by shelf, because I came across that one book about ailments and novels to help you deal with your ailments. But it also explained the ailments so well, that book, The Novel Cure, like it explained it so well, the ailments and how they connect to other ailments. And it was just so spot on. And by the way, I've used that book 3 or 4 times since then in regards to other people and trying to understand other people. And that was where I was talking about somebody the other day who I didn't name, but I said, I think what fits them to a T is that they're a control freak. And the more I think about it, the more I think it's spot on. Like, even just the littlest things about them totally stem from their inability to allow other people to critique them or allow other people to help them. They're just they're a control freak is what it is. And I think it definitely stems into their relationship. But anyway, I have used that book to just try to understand other people better. So like if somebody is pretentious, it has something in there about pretentiousness, like where it comes from, how it affects that person, and why that person should want to change it. And it has books for that. Like it's just a neat book. But so it's been very helpful. So anytime you have like that scattered brain and you're trying to figure something out or understand something, especially about people, that's the go-to book, The Novel Cure. Like if you're just trying to think, how can I figure out why this person is like this? You know, it's in there. It's in that book. It blows me away. I can't talk about it enough. But back to my point, the important point of all of this is that you don't want to think to yourself, you know, I'm not going to change who I am, because it's not about changing who you are. You know, the you that you are is still in there. Like me writing that play that I wrote about the situation that happened with me, and then we produced it and everything, like a stage production. That play is a representation of me and that experience that I call the event, and how trauma manifests and what it turns into, you know, a breaking point, or I call it the event. And, you know, it's, you know, for me and my own little events that are kind of happening right now, things are happening to me because of my own behavior. You know, I have to change certain things in my behavior. So spending is one of my big ones. You know, it can make or break you. And I would say once it finally breaks you, that could be called your own little event right there, right? And it's all about, you know, the behaviors we engage in every day. This is what I think is really hard for people like myself, and I think a lot of people with complex PTSD, is to see that our behaviors that we're engaging in every single day and, you know, every hour of every day, the little things we're engaging in lead up to something. Even if it's the things you're avoiding, the avoiding leads up to something, can lead up to a boiling point, a crisis, whatever. But it's, for me, it's spending. So this is what I'm talking about, is spending. for me to change that, for me to, you know, not have a coffee, buy a, like an iced coffee like I like to get, or to buy myself lunch when I want to solely rely off like your groceries, you know, like things that you buy to cook at home or whatever, to literally change that behavior. Because whenever I change spending, it means I change where I'm going. It means I change how I feel, because having a iced Americano with caramel and an extra shot in it makes me feel a certain way. You know, it makes me feel alive or waking up. So it's, you know, and whenever I go out to eat, I like talking to the guy that owns a restaurant. I like seeing the people there. I like their food. It makes me feel warm and good and full, and like I'm taken care of. And I like that. You know, it's those feelings associated with the behavior you're engaging in. It's not just the behavior, it's the feelings associated with it. And, you know, so if you're asking someone to change that, it's like you're really asking them to, it feels like you're asking them to change who they are. And so that's why I go back to my response normally is, I'm not going to change who I am, but you're still who you are. It's just, you're trying to be a better person. You're trying to be better for yourself. So that's the important thing to remember, is that you're still you. You're just trying to be a better version of yourself, because now I'll have more money in my savings account, so I can do more of the things that I really want to do. You know, rather than living this kind of day-to-day thing and not thinking long-term, because eventually it builds up into a crisis. So it's just very important. So in regards to the last episode where I talked about behavior and all of that and not beating yourself up, it's also important to change those behaviors that lead to that thinking or lead to a crisis. But it's really, really important to not think that, you know, you don't want to think this is just who I am, because, you know, you can rein certain things in that are hurting you. It's just a matter of time. It just takes time. And like I said, those few things I stopped doing since, those behaviors I changed since October and I've stuck with them, they have manifested into good things. They've manifested into more people wanting to be around me and wanting to spend time with me. And I think it's me. It's like my attitude is different. I'm happier. I'm more awake. I'm more in a routine. And, you know, in regards to the books, it's filling in that boredom when I normally would do bad things or bad coping skills. And, you know, eventually it just happened to lead to a really good book, which I know I've talked about it a lot on here. But that's just another example of, you know, I'm sticking with something and it's a change in my behavior, and that's not always easy for me. So, you know, it's a good sign. But the money part has been the hardest part, because I still do fall off the wagon in regards to the spending. So, you know, sticking to that is, I know it's a thing, something a lot of people struggle with, spending, but finances. But, you know, it's just a matter of sticking to it and realizing you're not giving up yourself. It's just a new you, a new version of you, but you're still there. It's still you. So again, it's just very, very important not to think, you know, this is just who I am, or I'm not going to change myself. Like, you know, this is it, because that's what I would normally say. And again, I think a lot of that does come from trauma, only because we want to be happy. Like, we want some enjoyment, and spending brings me that enjoyment. You know, running from things sometimes brings me that enjoyment, because I'm not having to deal with things. But in the long run, it's better to change that. And learn to see it's not as terrifying as we think it is. And it takes time for things to show themselves when you change things for the better. So, you know, again, it's not as terrifying and it takes time. So that'd be my word of advice. This is the Complex PTSD guy signing off.